Where the hell is the screen pass?
Ira, what would you say if I told you right now people can buy a brand new cherry red Ford Escape like you drive around in, or a big, beautiful F-150 at Bill Curry Ford, and get no payments until the summer of 2021?
They never run out of initiatives over there. They've always got something going on, some kind of a plan, and if you take advantage of it, there's a lot of savings to be had. They go above and beyond. Sean Sullivan, the general manager, that's the mantra over there, above and beyond.
Well, Ira, we just survived two cold, winterish nights, and you're not talking about the bun warmers in your vehicle.
Put them on yesterday. They're still toasty. My buns are still toasty. And by the way, Steve, you might not be aware of this, but this is the last week of our fantasy league, regular season. I'm trying to hang on for dear life for a playoff spot. You got a chance to knock me off, Steve, and I'm playing Sean Sullivan this week. So this week, Sean Sullivan's the enemy, but I got my eye out on your little team. You got a lousy record, but you scored a lot of points. That tells me you've run into a lot of bad luck this year.
All right, Ira. BillCurryFord.com is where people can start shopping immediately. BillCurryFord.com, of course. On top of all the great savings that you'll see there, you can get your Ira Kaufman podcast discount. You always get your nationwide lifetime warranty on new vehicles and on pre-owned vehicles. BillCurryFord.com.
Can I get a screen pass, Stevie? Can I get one? Where's McCoy? McCoy can do it.
Buccaneers fans, it's a bye week, but there is no snoozing on the Ira Kaufman podcast. The sage of Tampa Bay sports, the baron of Big Storm beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford, Uncle Ira, the king of Newport Richie, he is here. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeKemper of JoeBucksFan.com is here. We got plenty to talk about. It's episode 2 of the podcast this week, presented by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford for the last 60 years, right there on Dale Mabry Highway, just north of the stadium. Sage, Lee, how are you guys today?
Lee, I'm a little startled, and I shouldn't be. Maybe I'm a little naive here, but, you know, listening to the morning shows, the Good Morning America, Good Morning Football and Get Up and all this. Lee, we got an unbeaten team through 11 games. We got Pat Mahomes. We got the Saints on an 8-game winning streak. And, Lee, I'm not kidding. Every time I put one of these shows on, they're talking about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The 7-5 Buccaneers are topic number one on a national scale still. And here we are in December, and they're ripping Bruce Arians. They're questioning Tom Brady. How long is Arians going to be there? Should they bring in Josh McDaniels for year two with Brady? And, Lee, it's just unbelievable how the Bucs have captured. They are a public spectacle at this point, good or bad. I think it's just going to be this way as long as Brady's a Buccaneer.
Oh, yeah, that's true. And you got to give these TV people, as much as I may not want to say it, they have the research. Doomy just do a weekend show for ESPN Radio years ago. And I can only imagine the data now. But he said the research they would have about who listened when and what topics brought ears to the radio. It was unreal. And you know these TV people have that same kind of research, if not better. They know what people are interested in. They know it. Well, at least they know what they know when people put the remote down. TV, that's a goal of a TV network and a TV producer. Get people to put the remote down. And apparently, Brady and the Bucks gets them to put the remote down. And that's one reason why you're seeing so much coverage of the Bucks on these national shows. And it's very interesting that it seems like everybody's throwing, you know, rocks at Arians and Mr. Six Rings. It's like, no problem. Former Bucks quarterback, he's adamant. This is Brady's offense. They're doing what Brady wants to do. And you know who's been saying that? Shoot, almost since training camp? Bruce Arians. And so I just start wondering when people are going to start listening to what people are saying. And like, you know, maybe this isn't Arians. Maybe this is Brady. Arians didn't want Antonio Brown. Brady wanted him. Well, they bring in Antonio Brown. At first, I thought it was nonsense. this notion that just because Antonio Brown's on the roster means the offense went to hell. But after five games, it started with the Giants. Antonio Brown was technically on the roster. I mean, he was signed, but he wasn't officially active. Ever since then, this offense has been garbage for the most part. I don't believe in coincidence. You know, there might be something there.
Arians should go to work next week at $1 wearing a flak jacket. He needs a flak jacket. They're coming in. It's coming in from all directions.
Well, here's the thing, Ira.
Incoming.
Ira, here's the thing, okay? All right, I look at the bigger picture here. My bigger picture is, why do the Bucks, Tom Brady and Bruce Arians, allow it to continue? Why aren't they controlling the message or at least changing it? I don't understand that whatsoever. Arians has a lot of friends in the media, a lot. He knows who to call to get the word out. Tom Brady has a lot of friends in the media. He knows who to call to get the word out. And if they wanted to run interference, if they didn't want to appear themselves, they could easily tell, hey, Mike Evans, can you go do an interview with Get Up and on ESPN? It's all the same show. If you can, and set the record straight and go out there and say, look, any talk of this offense and coach and Brady not agreeing and this and that, it's all a bunch of crap. Hey, Byron Leftwich, you want to raise your profile. Why don't you get out there and say you guys are all nuts. These guys love each other. They play golf. They this, they that. Why aren't they doing that? That's the bigger question. Now, I don't know if it's because Brady just doesn't care because he's dealt with this for the last 15 years and just thinks it's funny. Arians, maybe he's 68 years old, knows he's not going to get fired and he doesn't give a crap. Or the Buccaneers themselves, Team Glazer and the media staff, they just love all the drama and think it's funny. It's probably some combination of all of it, but it's amazing how it just keeps coming. They're going to push this to an extreme drama that really, in my opinion, isn't there.
Well, Steve, it's funny you mention that because going on with the Mad Dog, Chris Russo, on Wednesday, he has a theory, and he doesn't like Tony Romo to begin with, and neither do I. He was apologizing for Brady from start to finish. That seems to be his priority on Sunday afternoon. And Russo thinks that Brady gave him time during the week when Romo came into Tampa and he heard Brady's side of the story. And without being explicit about what Brady told him, he defended Brady to the hilt because he wants to continue his access to Tom Brady. And maybe that was a big part of why he was making every excuse in the world for every bad decision Brady was making. So in essence, Lee, I think the implication was maybe Brady was throwing Arians under the bus to Tony Romo. And saying it's not my fault. There might be a little bit of truth to that, Lee. You know what it's like when people crave access. They'll do almost anything, Lee, to protect that.
Sure. I don't know what kind of access Romo wants from Brady unless he wants to be a salesman and hawk this anti-aging potion or whatever Brady's got. But, Brady's got a production company coming. Romo's got Hollywood on his brain. That's what it is. And I'm not being facetious about Romo and Hollywood. I think Brady's already done it. Like I was saying, Brady Quinn's already gone out and basically went after Arians. And by the way, I don't know why people are triggered about Brady Quinn. Did he steal their girlfriend? Did their favorite team lose to Notre Dame? We could write about slug quarterbacks like Bruce Gradkowski. No one will say anything. Brady Quinn, and all of a sudden people come at us like we had freaking Charles Manson writing a story or something. And my gosh, calm down. Do your homework, people. Start with Wikipedia. Start doing the math. Who did Quinn play for? Who did Brady Quinn play for? Do the math. There's a connection there.
You know, it's been killing the Bucks, killing the Bucks, killing Arians. Dan Orlovsky.
Greenberg character?
Dan Orlovsky, who we had in Tampa. Sounds like he's trying to make a name for himself.
Well, he's already made a name for himself. He's working for ESPN. I put no stock in what that guy says. He's said some things in the past were just imbecilic, to be polite. I think I wrote something about Orlovsky a couple days ago, only to refute what he was saying. He's a clown. But there's been some people that have connections to Brady that have been sticking up for him and going after Arians. But I know Steve Young was one. I can't remember the second one that's got a connection to Brady. And they said, Brady doesn't care. I mean, he gets along with Arians, and he doesn't care if people are jumping on him.
It's hard for me to believe, Steve, that Tom Brady isn't doing exactly what Tom Brady wants to do on the football field. Ultimately, let's be real men here and read between the tea leaves. You know, Tom Brady got Antonio Brown. Tom Brady got Gronkowski. If Tom Brady wants a right guard over Alex Kappa, they're going to get him. And, Steve, I think it strains credulity to suggest that Arians and Leftwich are forcing plays down Brady's throat. Where am I wrong here, Steve?
No, it's just plain stupid. Honestly, Ira, on top of what you said, they also got him a first-round right tackle. Okay, they didn't have to draft right tackle, but that's what they did. And they also got him the coach and the team that he wanted. I mean, he picked the team. He had other options. Maybe he only had two or three other options, but Brady certainly would have had another team if it wasn't for the Bucks. So he's gotten everything he wanted. You know, I do believe, well, like they've said, you know, Brady essentially is picking the plays, not necessarily calling them, but he certainly has full freedom to check to other plays, change plays. And he has everything he wants, so why would he possibly be unhappy? It's not like the team is 4-7. They're 7-5. And it's as if ESPN and all these other media types are making it a controversy that there's a problem when it was Brady who calls the plays and overthrew some receivers and hasn't been perfect along with everybody else. So it's just really strange that they keep their foot on the gas on this drama that I don't think really exists, but the Bucks must really be loving it. I'm sure Team Glazer is high five and all the drama. They love it. They asked for it. They got it in full throttle.
You know, guys, the Bucks are in charge of the narrative themselves. They don't need any help. They're in charge. Lee, if they close out the slate in December, they can be 11-5. That's what I picked. I think Steve might have picked 11-5.
No.
If they win 3 out of 4, Lee, that's a 10-win season. That's not too shabby, especially for this franchise. And they make the playoffs, and they go on the road in the playoffs with the GOAT. That's not too bad. So it's all up to them, Lee. Nothing's been decided. Now, if they go 2-2 and sneak into the playoffs at 9-7, I think 9-7 is a bad season, Lee. I think it's a bad year.
It's like everything else, Ira, with the Bucks. They control the narrative. They control everything. You know, I have gotten pushback from people at one Buck. They sometimes get really bent out of shape because I refer to the home stadium as the Den of Depression. But it deserves that label. Losing his team in the NFC since they got rid of Chucky. What am I supposed to do? Call it a paradise of victory? And they get mad at me. One time I told someone there that got mad at me, look, I'm not the one not tackling. I'm not the one not catching. I'm not the one who isn't running. I'm not the one throwing picks. Your players that are employed by Team Glazer are the ones that control if they win or lose, not me. Don't blame me. Blame the freaking people in the uniform on the playing field. They don't seem to understand that.
Ira, Florida's Elite Restoration is the first call when you see water or mold in your house. The first call. Immediately. You see the water, gosh, doesn't belong there. It's under the sink. Maybe it's been there 3-4 days. Something smells. You call them, and they will guide you. They'll give you a free estimate as to what's going on in your home, and they'll help you and guide you to making that call to your insurance company if you need it. And they're mold remediation specialists. They're licensed for it. It's not just something that they're a mold guy. Yeah, I scrape mold off the wall. No, they are serious specialists, and they handle disasters of all kinds across the Tampa Bay area. Family-owned. We know them. Sage, I know that would be your first call to Florida's Elite Restoration if you saw mold in that beautiful palace you own in the heart of Newport Richey.
You know, I was talking to a contractor today, and he's got a big job coming up, a $60,000 job. With water damage and mold involved. And just listening to him talk, Steve, it reinforces that mold can be a very serious issue if you let it fester, so to speak, and you don't get on top of it. Don't let a small job turn into a nightmare. And Florida's Elite Restoration, Steve, they'll come out and no obligation, free review, free quote, see what the problem is. They'll get on top of it quickly, and most importantly, they're honest and will give you a fair assessment of where you stand.
Florida's Elite Restoration.com. That's where you go. Put it in your bookmarks. That's where you go. Ira, since we were talking so much about the Bucks and the playoffs and the drama and all that, let me shift your attention to this, because I thought it was fascinating. You, of course, do your twice weekly podcast video episode of Tampa 2 with Derek Brooks for the Identity Tampa Bay. That's exclusive to JoeBucksFan.com. And, it's a lot of fun. And I thought it was fascinating that the great Derek Brooks, who talks to players on the team, who obviously has the relationships, who knows football, I'll say a little bit better than we do, then Brooks himself said to you on the latest episode, Ira, that he expected the Buccaneers would bring back LeSean McCoy and use him, he said, I believe, a steady dose of LeSean McCoy on third down as a receiving back. And he thought he would see more Julian Edelman-type routes from Antonio Brown, some slants and underneath stuff. And Brooks basically, he didn't throw up his hands, but he laughed and said, we didn't get any of that. So sort of, I don't even know what's going on there with the offense and the identity. I thought that was fascinating. Nobody really knows quite what this offense is except for Tom Brady.
I thought those were some tremendous points by Brooks. And, you know, Steve, doing the podcast with Derek every week, if he's got one overriding mantra about the Bucs, and it's interesting that he says this from his defensive position, run the football. Lee, he says it every week. And he didn't think that they should have abandoned Ronald Jones, even down 17-0 with three quarters left. He said, quote, chip away. And he thinks that the Bucs falling behind, Lee, they got this mindset that they're going to try to make up 17 points on one drive. That's sort of, you know, the philosophy. Lee, it doesn't work like that. So as far as Antonio Brown, I think Brooks is absolutely right, because we talked about it. Hey, why get Antonio Brown? Well, is he a depth piece? No, he's not a depth piece. He's a superstar. And what does he do very well? Lee, he turns a short slant to the house. Create havoc. And, you know, say what you want about Mike Evans. God bless him. But Evans is not going to take a 10-yard slant to the house. And neither is Godwin, as great as Godwin is, about all the things he does very well. And, I mean, that's Brown's forte. And, Steve, I can't remember one slant pass to Antonio Brown. Not one. And, Lee, I'll leave you with this. As far as LeSean McCoy, I mentioned it last week. We talked about it. Even though Ronald Jones made a big play catching the ball, Lee, we still don't trust him as a receiver out of the backfield. And, Lee, why is McCoy on the roster if this is not the time for LeSean McCoy?
Well, I can't answer that, Ira. That's an Arians question. If he's not good enough to play, then he should be active on game day. That's the way I look at it. As far as Antonio Brown, Ira, when I said beat havoc, I didn't mean a damn thing about football. What's he good at? Creating havoc off the field, on the practice field, at practice, everywhere. Is he a good football player? Sure. Is he a triple-A asshole? Yeah, he's that too. Probably more so than a football player at this point. About slant passes, I'm not sure if Arians even has such a thing in his playbook. He may have. This is the way I look at it with the run game. When you go down 17-0 in the first quarter, and thus far in the game, you've shown zero ability to even slow down your opponent. I can understand why you're going Air Coryell. I get it. Because at that point, you've got two opponents. The team you're playing, who you've yet to stop, and the clock. And my theory on running, if you can run, then run. And the Bucks this year this year, I'm emphasizing, can run the ball. And Chris Sims, former Bucs quarterback, on his podcast, he says, don't listen to me if you don't believe me. Go to the tape. And he swears when the Bucs are in two tight end formation, Brady's under center, and they run the ball, he said that's a dangerous offense. He said when they get away from that, especially when they get in the shotgun, that's when things get goofed up. And Sims, for the life of him, does not understand why they don't do more two tight end sets with Brady under center. He said it's so obvious it works. And that kind of leads me to believe that Brady doesn't want to run that. And then, therefore, Aarons has to be the adult in the room and say, Tom, if you want to win, we must do this.
Steve, we give a lot of opinions on this podcast, but we also throw out some facts, and Steve, you probably can check this for me. I think I'm right about this, but I believe the Bucs have thrown more passes than any team in football, Steve, anybody. And should that be the case with a 43-year-old quarterback? I don't care if his name's Tom Brady, Steve. Steve, does it have to be that way? Do you have to lead the league in pass attempts? I got a problem with that.
Well,
who cares?
Well, the Bucs have also played one more game than every other team except for the Panthers, so there are some skewed stats out there when it comes to anything that's a total, because the Bucs have played one more game. But the Bucs have thrown, I think, more than what they should have. I'll just leave it at that. But part of that, Ira, I think it's the humanity, the human element of this is Tom Brady, who we know. Tom Brady, who we know has a big part of the play calling. When he gets to the huddle and he's on the sidelines, nobody possibly in the history of the game has ever looked, no quarterback has ever looked around and had Antonio Brown, Rob Gronkowski, Mike Evans, and Chris Godwin all staring at him. Most quarterbacks looking at that who are human are going to say, damn, we need to pass the ball. Look at this lineup here. It's like asking a power hitter to bunt. You know, it's just a weird scenario. But yeah, I agree that they get away from Rojo too much, especially because of this, Ira. I wanted to bring this up, and it sort of goes to the
Davey's averaging 5 yards a carry. That ain't too bad.
Yeah, 5.1 yards a carry, and right now I think he's only about 15 carries short of what he had all of last year. So it's not like it's any kind of small sample size. He's having a phenomenal year. But Ira, you know I listen to these Buccaneers coaches' shows and players' shows and all the stuff they do, just because I'm a fan and I'm also looking for nuggets. So Larry Foote, who played linebacker, two-time Super Bowl winner, he's the Bucs' outside linebackers coach. You know, he's on there getting interviewed, and you know he's talking there to talk defense. And they asked him about Tristan Wirfs, and in his 30-something minutes interview, that was the most excited he got, was when they asked him about Tristan Wirfs learning from Shaq, and Foote kind of turned the tables, got all excited for Wirfs and said, look, this, I've been in this league 20 years. I've never seen an offensive lineman rookie look like that. What an amazing pick. This kid is different. He called him an all-pro, and he knows what an all-pro is. He called him an all-pro, and he should be an all-pro here on out. So I take that from the coach's perspective, Ira. If the coaches believe Wirfs is an all-pro, and you've got Rob Gronkowski, who's healthy, to line up next to him, can't you just pound the ball right and have a nice balanced offense that does almost anything you want it to do?
Don't mention the word balance in front of DeKemper. Don't give him a heart attack during the holidays.
I'm okay with balance as long as there's production with that balance.
You know, guys, yeah. I'm gonna throw this out there because I wouldn't be me if I didn't. Lee, I don't care who's responsible for the plays. I don't care if it's Brady, Leftwich, Arians, or Clyde Christensen. I don't care. But I'll tell you one play that I haven't seen in about 7 weeks. Where the hell is the screen pass? Can I? You know, I'm a broken record. Where is, and I'll tell you why. Because Brady's good at it. Jameis wasn't. Brady's good at it. He did it all the time in Foxborough. And it was very effective. And Rodgers is great at it in Green Bay. And it's very effective. Lee, is part of the problem. They don't have anybody that can execute the play in terms of being on the receiving end of the pass. and get it in rhythm.
I think you answered your own question there, which begs another question. I thought this is why they drafted Keyshawn Vaughn. He can't get
Where
on
is
the active
he?
Roster. He's in hiding.
And on top of that, Ira, on top of that, like I agree with Lee that you answered your own question. On top of that, Fournette has whiffed on some pass blocks, and Rojo had a horrible whiff on Tyrann Mathieu, yeah. And that was the interception to Scotty Miller, where, you know, and so they're not pass blocking from the backs very well. They're not catching very well. I listened to your buddy Ron Jaworski on with Rich Eisen, and he had a full breakdown of why he thinks Brady's fantastic as far as his arm strength, and he called the Bucs-Giants game earlier in the year and just basically stood out there and watched Tom warm up every throw and said he you know, was hitting them all with great velocity. But at the end of his whole rant, Jaworski said, it very much puzzles me why they don't have a guy who can catch the ball out of the backfield when that's Brady's great strength, and Leonard Fournette, for some reason, can't catch the ball anymore.
Well, don't forget, Bruce Arians keeps telling us he's got fantastic hands, Lee. Fantastic.
That's like somebody saying you got great legs, Ira.
It's been said. It's been said. My buddy said it when they were thinking about drafting me. I sent my buddy down to the draft board with me, and he told the guy that I had great legs, and they stamped me 4F and got me the hell out of there. So do what you got to do. You do what you got to do, gentlemen.
Now, just for our younger listeners, Ira, and for the folks in general, you're talking about being drafted for the U.S. military back in the late 60s or early 70s, correct?
I think I was number 11 on the list, Steve. It was a dangerous time. Dangerous time.
Now, before you know it, somebody would have you at the Combine working out with Gil Brandt in 1968 for the Cowboys. So I didn't want to scare anybody there.
Can I get a screen pass, Stevie? Can I get one? Where's McCoy? McCoy can do it.
It's yet another mystery, you know, and I think Lee and I would both say it's because Brady doesn't want him out there.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I think we can start listening to Arians and taking at least some of his words to heart, because it sure is starting to make sense. If Brady's the one that's calling the plays, then why are we jumping on Arians? Now, I do get it. At some point, you got to be the adult in the room. That's what I've been saying. And to me, there's bigger fish to fry than throwing a screen pass. Like two tight end set, Brady under center, running the ball more. I think that's a much, much, much bigger issue than throwing one screen pass a game. But, this is a theory. Pure, absolute, total speculation. If this is true, this may answer a whole bunch of our questions. We got a lot of pushback from people at One Buck when we kind of insinuated, did the Bucs make a deal with Brady that he could pick players? Well, that balloon didn't go over so well at One Buck Palace. Well, okay. Let's think about this for a moment. We know Arians didn't want Antonio Brown. And we know Brady or Gronkowski wouldn't be here without Brady. Arians time and again says the offense, the plays are Brady's plays that he's calling. That's what Brady wants. Could it be? Well, no, they didn't give him any kind of say-so over personnel. But could it be as part of the carrot to lure him to Tampa? Had told Brady, you know what? You have final say on the offense.
I don't even know if it had to be explicit. Maybe it was implied, Lee. Maybe. But surely Brady has significant, if not total, input on what the Bucs are doing on offense. And Steve, might I add, harkening back to my column today, why is Todd Bowles getting a pass, Steve? Everybody's focused,
not with me,
on Brady, and the offense. And all right, they scored 24 points. And Steve, you're right. That's not a great total in this league because they were averaging 29. But you saw my chart, gentlemen. This defense is falling apart at the seams. Or should I say this pass defense, because run defense has been strong. I think they might catch a break with the Vikings because the Vikings are a run-oriented team. We'll see. But nobody's been able to run on the Bucs. Steve, where is Devin White up the middle? I mean, I don't see him helping you that much in coverage. Lee, you got to get this guy involved. Turn him loose. He wanted to be turned loose. Bowles did it in the Raider game. The guy ends up with 3 sacks. Get Devin White in Kirk Cousins' grill.
I'm guessing, Ira, that you're referring to network TV shows. because Steve and I have been on this for some time. Steve, dating back to last year, was writing about Devin White's no good in the clip, although he has improved this year. I pounded the Bulls this week. You know, he's come up with two games in a row, garbage game plan. I pounded them this week. I pounded them last week. So it's not getting past me.
Lee, I don't see the Nationals focusing on Todd Bowles.
Who cares about the Nationals? Boo, Nationals. Yeah, who cares?
If I controlled them, I probably wouldn't be on your podcast, Ira. You know, I'd be sitting in Miami Beach somewhere or Puerto Rico and having a cold drink and ordering people around on my cell phone.
As a friend of mine says, Lee would be on a tropical island surrounded by brown-skinned women.
Steve, is it a lack of talent in the secondary, or is it scheme, or both?
Well, Sage, you know what? I'm going to direct folks to our last podcast. We dove into that in many different directions. They can listen on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, which is the same thing, Google Podcasts, Podbean. We all had different opinions, and they can go back and listen to that. How about that, Sage? Because you dropped some good ones there. And Ira, I'm going to redirect
Steve,
you to
Steve.
I got three words for you, Ira.
This was a top five defense in October. Top five.
Yeah, well, you know what, Ira? You know what? I think we've all learned the lesson that this defense, which was, you know, everybody's coming up with a number, top three of in the last six games last year, top this, top that, top it right up your ass. It's a full season of football, and that's what matters. And you got to look beyond the numbers. I think they're suffering from talent issues in the back, in the back four. You know, as Lee's hammered Todd Bowles, he hasn't done them any favors with some of the decisions. And, one thing that happened last week, it gets overlooked because we're on the wrong end of it. But Patrick Mahomes is, as you said, the guy's insane. I mean, I think the next-gen stats showed his pass, the air yards on the one that beat Carlton Davis was like 61.5 yards in the air, and Mahomes wasn't even stepping into the ball. So, I mean, sometimes there's that element with it, too.
Yeah, they get paid, too, don't they?
They do. And he gets paid, what, $40 million a year? 50?
He gets paid enough to own a piece of a baseball team. I know that much. He's 25 years old, and he's a part owner of a Major League Baseball team. That's impressive stuff.
Ira, I got about four names for you here. I want to get your reaction. You ready?
Ready.
First one is Kolsch. Second one is Bromosa. Third one is Tropic Pressure Florida Ale. The next one would be Dunder and Blixum, the great specialty beer, spiced ale. Big Storm Beer. That is the official beer of the Ira Kaufman podcast.
That's very easy. The Mount Rushmore of craft beers. Mount Rushmore. Four beautiful faces peering down on you, waiting for you to drink each of them. I've tried them all. They're all outstanding. From week to week, I change up. Who knows what I will get for the Atlanta game? See, the next one? We shall see. Lee, you're more of a connoisseur than I am, but to me, that's a pretty good Mount Rushmore.
Big Storm Beer. That is the official beer of the Ira Kaufman podcast, and it's no joke. It's holiday time. People drink more beer this time of year. Try Big Storm. That's all we're asking you to do. The Sage loves his beer. We all do. Big Storm's available all over the state of Florida and beyond for our listeners who are beyond. And, of course, their tap rooms are in Odessa and in Clearwater and Cape Coral. Fantastic beer. And, Ira, our friends at Florida's Elite Restoration will be buying us a free beer and all Bucks fans between noon and 1 before the kickoff, where we'll be watching the Bucks and the Falcons December 20th at the 3,000-square-foot outdoor area covered at Big Storm Tap Room there in Clearwater on 49th Street. Awesome stuff. But Big Storm Beer, that's your beer for the holidays. Try it, and you'll never drink anything else in 2021. Ira, this is important, very important here, because Buccaneers need your wisdom as the sage of Tampa Bay sports to know what to do with themselves on Sunday, because there's no Bucs game. There's a bye week, but there's a huge game on the Bucs schedule, and it's just so important to the direction of what happens with the playoffs. The Rams are 7-4, and they go to the Cardinals, who are 6-5. Now, remaining on the Rams' schedule after that rough game is the Patriots. That's a tough game. They got the Jets. That's not a tough game. And they have the Seahawks followed by the season finale against the Cardinals again. Very, very tough schedule for the Rams. Now, the Cardinals, after this Sunday's game, they've got the Eagles, the Giants, the 49ers, and the season finale against the Rams. With the Rams at 7-4 and the Cardinals at 6-5, you know where the Bucs are. Who are we rooting for on Sunday? What do we do?
You know, Steve, here's what it comes down to. If you think the Bucs have basically wrapped up a playoff spot, and it looks like it's about a 75% according to the computers, then if you think they've wrapped up a playoff spot, you root for the Cardinals. You root for the Cardinals because you want the number 5 wild card spot. You want that number 5 so you can play the NFC East. And you don't care about what the Cardinals do at that point. If you think that the wild card's in danger, that the playoffs are in danger, and I think Lee does believe that, seriously in danger, then you got to root for the Rams. Let the Rams win. Let them win a division because they got the tiebreaker over the Bucks. And at that point, you're not concerned about getting the number 5 spot. You're concerned about getting the freaking number 7 spot and getting in the playoffs. So, Lee, I think it all comes down to how you view the Bucs at 7-5. Do you feel pretty darn good about their playoff chances? I do. I feel pretty good about it. I'll tell you why. I think the Bears stink. They're going in the wrong direction. They'll probably win one more game this year. I don't think they're a factor at all. And if you beat the Vikings, which you should, you take care of them, and I don't see anybody else from the NFC that's going to challenge the Bucs for a playoff spot. Lee, barring a collapse, and I don't see it. I don't see a 2008 repeat. But, Lee, I know you're not ruling that out, so you're a little more worried than I am.
Yeah, I've seen how the Bucs have played in the month of November, so that continuing would not be a shock to me at all. I'm not expecting it. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I'm in full crisis mode. I've seen too much Bucs football, so the past 30 years, whatever. I've seen too much Bucs football to be comfortable and warm and confident that they're going to do something good.
Lee, who do you think should Bucs fans should be looking for to win in that Rams-Cardinals game? Who are you rooting for?
Whatever Big Storm beer they choose. I'm not doing that yet. I'm too worried about the Bucs making it. Right now, I'm just focused solely on the Bucs winning. To quote Tom Brady, the other stuff is just noise at this point. Bucs got to take care of business first.
Steve, I think they should root for Arizona and try to get that number 5 wild card spot. That's what I think.
I was listening to Michael Lombardi's podcast this week, Ira. He had some very interesting things to say about the Bucs.
Why is he talking about the Bucs every week, Lee? Why every week?
Why do you think, Ira? Why do you think?
It gets the ratings.
Of course. People are going to waste their time.
Well.
Ratings and money, you know? Ira, you don't slave away on your columns hoping you might get a nickel like what Martin Finley's getting paid by that outfit in Lakeland.
Well, for me, Michael Lombardi ain't never been Bill Polian, so I don't put that much stock in Michael Lombardi.
Well, this is why a lot of fans say, why don't you get a real GM? Well, number one, real GMs, I'm assuming you're referring to very successful GMs. There's not too many of those guys out there because they're working. They're gainfully employed. And the ones that are out there, they don't want to tinker around with podcasts. They got money in the bank. They're retired. They're playing shuffleboard in St. Petersburg. They're happy. So, I mean, it's very simple. You know, the only people that work are people that need money. If you don't need money, you're not going to work. So, you know, anyway, Michael Lombardi. I don't know this for sure, but it seems like he may have an in with Brady. I don't know. He certainly loves Brady. And what he said about the Bucs, he prefaced it saying, I love Tom Brady. So at least he's clear about it, where he's coming from. I love Tom Brady. He said one of three things is going to happen next year with the Bucs. Yeah, we're talking next year, not the playoffs yet. He said next year, either you're going to have a new coach in Tom Brady, or you're going to have Bruce Arians and a new quarterback, or you're going to have a new quarterback and a new coach. And he said, on top of that, the Glazers should basically tell Bruce, if you're returning next year, you will draft a quarterback early, and you will develop him, which is something Steve and I have been beating a drum for over a year about. Your thoughts on what Lombardi said, Ira?
I totally disagree with Lombardi. I think he's way premature. What if they win 10 games this year and one or two playoff games? Is that any reason to blow up the Arians-Brady experiment when you can still have year two and make a couple of moves in the offseason to shore up a couple of issues? I think it's way premature. If they go 8-8 and miss the playoffs, he's right. Something's got to give, and maybe both of them go. So that part's right. As far as drafting a quarterback, you know, I'm not sure the Glazers would feel that way, because I think their focus would be, hey, we got pretty close in 2020. We're not going to use a first-round pick on a quarterback. We're going to try to win the Super Bowl in 2021, and that's going to be our focus, and we'll worry about a quarterback when we have to. So, Lee, I think Lombardi's trying to jump the gun. He doesn't know what December is going to bring to this franchise. None of us do. If it's a disaster, you know, and they go 1-3 in the fourth quarter, this thing's going to get blown up. I agree with that. But I don't see that happening, and I think it's way too early, Steve, to start talking about breaking up this gang when we don't know what the final chapter of 2020 is.
Yeah, it's too early. It's interesting to think about, though. And keep in mind, Ira, Tom Brady is under contract for next season, a guaranteed contract. So, yeah, I mean, I agree with Ira, though. I think it's way premature and almost ridiculous, just because the one thing that we can all agree on, anybody can agree on, the fact that Tom Brady's healthy. He's going to throw a Buccaneers record in touchdown passes, and he's had a good year. We'll see if it becomes a great year. And so why would you want to get rid of him? He's the best thing that's happened to this franchise as far as high-profile nature from the Glazers' perspective and selling tickets and sponsors and excitement and the business side of things ever. So I think he's rock solid. And, it's not that many months ago that he chose exactly where to play, and they got him everything that they wanted. Ira, you can get everything you want, even though you already have your beautiful cherry red Ford Escape luxury model, at Bill Curry Ford. I cannot emphasize enough that general manager Sean Sullivan is going all out to end 2020 with a bang. The deals are incredible. The offers, the financing, no payments until summer of 2021. You have to start shopping at BillCurryFord.com. And of course, the dealership will accommodate you any way you want. They'll even come out to your place with whatever you want to test drive and bring it to you, so everything is completely socially distanced, and you don't have to go in the dealership to buy a vehicle. That's ancient history type of thinking, Ira. The old days when you used to go in with a pocket full of cash and ready to negotiate, doesn't have to be that way. BillCurryFord.com, they'll accommodate you any possible way they can. Sage, I want to run this past you before we get the hell out of here on this beautiful bye week. After this slate of games, Ira, everybody will have played 12 games. And Ronald Jones is going to be sitting there with 820 yards. And at worst, I did some math, Ira, got my calculator out. At worst, he's going to finish this week as a top eight running back in the NFL, maybe even higher. Top eight for Ronald Jones. Is he the biggest surprise of this season?
Well, you'd be hard-pressed to find another one. Maybe Tristan Wirfs being that good. We thought the guy was going to be good. He's turned out to be tremendous. You know, Antoine Winfield a month ago, you might have thrown him in the mix, but he's hit the wall. Ronald Jones is tough to beat. There's no question. I mean, Brady's doing what you thought he might. Averaging 5 yards a carry, Steve, with a good amount of carries. Boy, you got to give it up for Jones as a running back. Horrible rookie season. Not a bad rookie season. Horrible. One of the worst we've ever seen in Buck franchise history. I think that's fair to say, to the point where a lot of people want to get rid of him. Chop him up. Release him. And He improved a lot in 2019. And, you know, his arc keeps going up. So I got to give Jones a lot of props. You know, I don't know if he's ever going to be a dependable receiver out of the backfield. But, Lee, the first job of a running back is to run the football and run it well.
Thanks.
And he's darn good at it, so I got to give him a lot of credit.
Oh, yeah, he deserves all the credit in the world. He turned his career around. I thought he was garbage because he showed me absolutely nothing. Didn't show me anything in practice. Didn't show me a damn thing in the game. You know, all the props to him for turning things around. He did it the hard way. He worked his tail off with his assistants, and, you know, he deserves all the credit. I've been wanting to ask you this since the last podcast, and I got to get your input on this. This is, as you would say, stuck in my craw. Not craw, craw! And Sunday, when Cheetah Hill, I can't remember which of his touchdowns he did this. I think it was the 75-yard touchdown. I'm not sure. But he stopped at the goal line, turned toward the defense, folded his arms, waited a couple of seconds for someone to get remotely close to him. Then he decides to backflip into the end zone. I got nothing against Cheetah Hill. Got nothing against Mahomes, Chiefs. All seem like a great organization, it seems like. Great players, really good players, players you like. I got no problem with them. But someone should have clotheslined his ass. Someone comes into your house, taunts you like that, and you're fighting for the playoffs. No one did anything. No one cussed at him. No one even gave him a shove. What would happen, Ira? Well, first off, this wouldn't have happened with Sapp and Lynch around because he wouldn't have scored on a play like that. But what would have happened if a player taunted the Bucs defense like that and backflipped in the end zone at Raymond James with Sapp and Lynch on the team? I know some teams would have clotheslined his ass.
About 10 minutes later, when he went across the middle, whether he was getting the football or not, he would have been carried off.
I thought that was an awful image for
the
Bucs.
This is the new world order. It's the new world order. It's the way it's done now. We don't have to like it. Wasn't it Jerry Rice, Steve? I think it might have been Jerry Rice who said, you know, when he reached the end zone, act like you've been there before, Steve. That's a great line. It might have been Barry Sanders, might have been Jerry Rice. One of the all-time greats said it. Act like you've been there before. And Tyreek Hill has been there before. And Lee makes a good point. You don't do it on your home turf. You got your life in your hands, or you should. And maybe the Bucs couldn't catch up with him, Steve. Maybe they wanted to retaliate, and they could never catch up to him.
And by the way, I got nothing against celebrations. I got nothing against celebrations, but I thought Chad Johnson was really creative. But I just thought, I could see last year's Bucs or the Shanna or Lovey Bucs where they were just utterly pathetic. But here you are, a team that you're fighting for a playoff berth, and you're trying to establish yourself as one of the best teams. You're trying to turn the corner after a couple of bad games. And a guy does that on your turf, taunts you like that, shows you up like that, and you're like, eh, no big deal. I just thought that was off.
Ira, Hall of Fame, what the heck's going on? What are the dates we need to know about? Anything happening that you can lend us some information on, as you are Tampa Bay's only representative at the Pro Football Hall of Fame?
Yeah, Steve, very quickly, this is a very big week. This is the week that the voters have been asked to reduce the field from 25 semifinalists to 15 finalists. And if you're one of those 15, that means you get talked about in the room on the day before the Super Bowl. It might be a Zoom meeting, but it's going to be a meeting. And there's going to be 45, 47 selectors, including Tony Dungy for the first time, in the room with a vote. And that's not going to hurt John Lynch, but I'm focused on Rondae Barber. I think we can assume John Lynch is going to make the final 15. He's done it, you know, 7 years in a row. Rondae Barber has never done it. He's never been in the final 15. I think that's 3 years in a row. He has not made that cut from 25 to 15. The three of us, I think I speak for all of us, we cannot fathom how that could happen. We're not saying he's got to be in the Hall of Fame in 2020 or 2021. It would be nice. but at least get discussed. And I cannot believe that there's 15 stronger candidates than Rondé Barber. I just don't believe it. He and Lynch are the first two names that I checked off on my list. And for those that are asking, Simeon Rice did not make the list of semifinalists, so he has no chance to get in with the class of 2021. Sometimes he makes the 25, sometimes he doesn't. He's in and out, Simeon. And as the years go by, I think he could easily be forgotten about. So he's another guy to keep an eye on. But I think my job right now is to try to get Rondé into that 15. And I know I can make a compelling case for him. So if Buck fans want to get on Twitter and, you know, just make a general statement to the selectors, hey, why don't you take a look at number 20? I think the more you look at him, you're going to realize We gotta discuss this guy. He is one heck of a candidate.
Hey, Ira, I don't know if you're gonna want to comment on this, but I gotta fire a very sharp dart at one of your colleagues at the Hall of Fame, because I think this is at the core of the problem with the Hall of Fame, because all you guys are smarter than this, and I think better than this. Hall of Fame voter, you know, well known. He wrote a column just, I believe, the other day saying that it's time, last chance, the voters have to step up and do the right thing for Clay Matthews to get him in the final 15. And I just think that's always the wrong approach. That's the political approach, instead of saying this guy's worthy and you've made a big mistake. Not that's appropriate, but not it's his last chance and, you know, this is his 20th year. Well, you know what? Maybe after 19 years, maybe he just didn't deserve it. And he's only been a finalist three times in those 20 years. But I just hope that it stops where they got these guys out there saying it's his last chance. We got to help him. I don't like it.
Guys, if the main impetus for writing it is that it's the guy's final year before he goes into the senior pool, that's wrong. That's wrong. But I'm not sure that's the case, because knowing Clark, I'm going to assume that he really believes in Clay Matthews, and he's entitled to that opinion. Clay Matthews is not a guy you can dismiss out of hand. Played a heck of a long time in this league at a very high level. So, Lee, I'm not going to assume that he wrote that column only because it's the guy's last year of being a modern-day candidate. I got to think he really believes in Matthews, and if he does, I say God bless him.
It was Clark Judge. I just checked Twitter. He wrote that Clark Judge addresses Clay Matthews' candidacy, and you know, gave a little synopsis of the column. We all know, if we didn't, someone's naive, that it's a very political process. I think Ira's detailed enough things that were going on. I've heard some things. The time when Ira couldn't make it there because of a personal issue, medical issue, and I heard some things that were going on in that room, and it's very political. It's very political. There's cliques, like the safety for the Eagle. That was all the Northeast clique. They didn't want Lynch in there. That was all Northeast guys.
Brian Dawkins. Yeah.
Dawkins, yeah.
Well, to give Clark Judd some credit, he did include in his article, Ira, that Clay Matthews' odds of getting to Canton this year border on the Jets' chances of making the Super Bowl. So at least he has a clear head about it. I don't like the politics, because I think it works against the Bucks too much. So I'm biased myself.
Well, we don't have any clicks on this podcast, Stevie. That's for sure.
We got a lot of clicks.
Oh, yeah, we do.
Yeah, we got major clicks. I mean, I was thinking when you were talking before that, you know, you're having a comeback year. Your 2018 was terrible, Ira, terrible. But you're making a comeback.
Well, I'd like to cap it with a John Lynch induction into Canton. That would that'd really make my day, gentlemen. And you know what? That would ease my way to go up to Canton next summer to be at Lynch's induction ceremony. And I always have a great time when I go up there. And Roger Goodell's up there. He's accessible. We can break bread. I'll buy him a Kolsch while I'm up there. I would really like to get back to Canton this summer. But if no Buck gets in, I'm not going. How do you like that?
No problem, Sage. All right, well, stay well, Ira, and we will see you next week on this podcast, and we will listen to you. We will root for the Cardinals to take out the Rams so the Bucks have a shot at playing that NFC East winner.